This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Howdy, third hour. It's good stuff with Ike Taylor. That was really good. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206, live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience here on, of course, what has been a really stacked week. A lot of hoops, a lot of football. Get ready for the draft. Teak and I are going to bounce down to Nashville, Tennessee.
Looking forward to it. Because I haven't been to Nashville in probably 22 years, 23 years.
What, when you played the Titans?
No, I was in college. No, I was in college. I went to Nashville just to, like, visit.
Okay.
And it was cool, you know?
I think they've made a few strides.
And again,
then,
I keep saying this to people. They're like, bro, it's like a different world.
I told you
in Nashville now. And we keep hearing about it. People going to bachelor parties. What's the hockey team? Now I'm forgetting the name.
The Predators
are there.
Everybody, PK?
Yep, PK.
Our NHL
playoff
correspondent.
They're getting beat up a little bit this year, right? I don't know how they're doing in the postseason. The Preds, but they say it's just a different world. Mm-hmm. So do we go down there? It's going to be amazing next week, just because the energy the NFL brings. Like, they brought the Philly. Remember when they had the draft in Philly?
Yeah, of course.
It was that outdoor square.
Dallas.
Dallas was great.
And Roger Staubach and Ned Troy Aikman flinging passes into the crowd.
So
I like that they do this.
I do, too.
You know why? And yeah, I know you did some stuff with Yahoo, and you would go to the draft. I did some stuff locally.
I was like in the bowels.
But he was still there. Whatever.
True, but it was like...
Obviously a different stage for you now. It's going to be much better. But the difference, like, when you have something like that in New York, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be more convenient for us, but it just gets swallowed up.
Agreed.
You put it in a different city, and even, listen, Dallas to Fort Worth, greater Fort Worth area is huge. It's a top 10 market. Philly's a top 5 market, top 6, whatever it is at this point. But it still resonates. It has a different cachet.
I think you're right.
It just feels bigger. I like that they're doing this.
Yeah, the thing in New York, I would remember this because it would happen in my off seasons when I was living here. I was one of the few guys that lived in the Upper East Side. And you'd come around and you'd be like, oh, there's something happening at Radio City. You know, oh, it's the draft.
No, you see a random Jaguars jersey.
But it's like, oh yeah, the draft is here. It's like, what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You got swallowed up.
It gets
Rockefeller
swallowed up.
Center,
just
Radio
too much
City.
Other stuff going on.
I agree.
Right? So it's awesome that it's down in Nashville, which is obviously a great city these days. And I haven't been in a long time, so I'm looking forward to it. But I want to bring something back up that both Daniel Jeremiah hit on, mm-hmm. and then I just kind of hit on. And it's this idea of when to take a quarterback, mm-hmm. right? And you kind of responded to the Dwayne Haskins comment. Should you take him at 6 or should you take him at 20, right? And if mm-hmm. he's your guy, if you're buying it, I'm really positioning this, BT, because the Giants are in this exact spot.
Like my 6 and 17.
Are at this exact spot. They have a draft pick at 6, as BT just said, and at 17. You could take a quarterback at either one and probably get value at either one.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could really screw it up by waiting and not getting the guy that you want. Like, I'm going to take one of these D linemen at 6, and I'll wait because I know my guy, or I think my guy's going to fall.
Yep.
But then all of a sudden, a couple other teams scoot up,
yep.
take quarterbacks, and you don't get your
but
guy.
But then you could always trade out of 17 and get more draft equity.
True.
There's always a way to respond
true,
to that.
But you miss your quarterback.
That's true.
You miss your quarterback. That,
very much so, yeah.
And so we know the narrative with the New York Giants. It's Eli Manning is getting to the end. He's going to be the starter to start the season. But what happens after that? You got to get the heir apparent. You have to find him. And so... look, I like Dwayne Haskins. I saw him play in person. We met him at the Super Bowl this year. His personality is just—it's awesome.
Yep.
Like he's the kid who can groom for a year or two and become your franchise as long as he develops into that into that type of player that we're talking about. And so, if I'm the Giants, or if you're the Giants, and you think he's not worth it at 6, mm-hmm. but and this is what Ike said. Mm-hmm. He's not worth it at 6, but you take him top 20, so you take him at 17.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do if you're the Giants?
You need to explain to me why you would think that. I don't understand what 11 slots in the draft do.
It's a few hundred thousand dollars. It's a little bit more money.
Okay, a little more money. But you have to find a quarterback.
You still got the same fifth-year option.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal.
Yep.
Because you can afford to have him for 4 years. If you draft a guy in the second round, I mean, you got to make that decision after 3 years. You draft a guy in the first round, you only have to make that decision after 4 years and really five, because you can just throw him on a franchise.
Which is why with the Ravens, with Ozzie Newsom, Lamar Jackson,
exactly.
Last pick first round, that
interesting. If you need a quarterback, and this is why their values get so inflated.
That word annoys me already.
Agree.
Value.
But you know what I mean? Not values, but like the how much you pay them, right? Because their value is wrong. I think a lot of these quarterbacks are being paid more than they're worth, actually. You know? And so, but the number, the salary cap number on quarterbacks is elevated. So I won't use value. The salary cap number is elevated because people are so desperate to get the player that they want, even if they are I'll use this in quotes, a 20th or 25th pick value, right? They end up taking them at number six because you got to get them anyways. And so it's just created this, I don't know, this conundrum that you find teams in. And no sport like the NFL overthinks this like the NFL. They really overthink it. And I think it's a frustrating stance for the fans, because you want to build your team, but you want to get your guy, but you don't want to overpay for that guy. It gets hard right now for teams that need a quarterback, and the Giants are one.
Well, let me simplify it for everybody. And, you know, this goes for Dave Gelman. Anybody that is in the market for a quarterback right now, listen to this, because – from somebody who's not a football executive, I'm going to give you a gift, because you're tripping over your own brain. And as Tiki lines it up, it's really becoming a detriment. Not to pick on the Giants, but to so many teams around football. Here's the most simple answer I can give you. Whether it's Kyler Murray's off the board because he's going to go one to the card. Forget about him. Dwayne Haskins, Daniel Jones, Greer, any other quarterback that you might consider taking in the first round, whether it's 6, 7, 19, 22, anything in the first round. Do you believe, and I'll use Haskins specific to the Giants for this situation, do you believe that Dwayne Haskins in 2 years, when he gets some reps?
6'3",
230. Yep.
Got a big arm,
tightens up his body even a little bit more. Yep. We know he's an engaging personality.
Threw for 50 touchdowns last year.
Drew Brees' Big Ten record. That guy can throw the football. But now, to Ike's point, all those guys are running 4.3. Is he thrown to a spot or you thrown to a window? It's different, as we know. And all those guys at Florida and Florida State in the 90s put up these sick numbers. So did Tim Tebow, throwing basically to a pylon rather than trying to split a cornerback and a safety or a linebacker.
That's right.
So the point is, with somebody like Haskins, I'm going to look at Haskins, and I'm not immaterial for a moment of money. I'll look at Dwayne Haskins if I'm the Giants, and I'm going to say, okay, I know what I say publicly with Eli, and he's a warrior, and he's a champion, and we need to show him the respect we didn't when we benched him in Oakland and when that went sideways. But we know, internally, we know what the deal is. It's almost over. Now, as I look at Dwayne Haskins, do I believe in my football soul, in my most unwavering football conviction, that young man with a little polish and a few reps can trot out of a tunnel and in front of 80,000 maniacal Eagle fans in 2 years or 3 years or 5 years or 9 years or 100,000 crazy Cowboys fans in Jerry's world, can he perform? Again, immaterial of draft slot or a couple of $100,000, which equates to peanuts in the world of always chasing for a quarterback and trying to find one.
And that's the
if the answer is yes, draft him.
But that's the hardest thing to figure.
No,
right?
It's not. It's only hard because they make it more complex than they need to.
I think it's easy for Kyler Murray, because we saw the kid ball, and I kid on this, right? As the defense standing up watching the kid, because he balled. He balled all season long, even in the college football playoff when they didn't play well. He had a pretty good game. He's a baller. He's a gamer. Dwayne Haskins played at Ohio State, save for that Purdue game, which he described so eloquently, almost perfectly, when we asked him about it. The Super Bowl was kind of fated for it to happen, for them to lose that game, because what was happening with...
It was a night game, too.
Yeah,
it was a good atmosphere.
The kid's name now. I wish I could remember his name. The kid that's sick that was at Purdue.
I can't remember
his name.
Yeah.
But
look that up.
Yeah, look it up
sure
and tell us,
because
I don't want to leave us without having said it, because it was very poignant.
He's going to look for it.
Other than that game, he balled for a lot of his career. His one season at Ohio State.
So I believe Tritt, that he, Tyler Tritt.
Yeah, Tyler Tritt. Exactly right. Drew Locke, I don't know.
I'm not saying I know about Dwayne Haskins either. I'm just saying they need to know.
But you saw Dwayne Haskins do it on big stages.
But we've seen a lot of quarterbacks put up big. And I think Dwayne's going to be good. But we have been fooled before. Matt Leinart. Matt Leinart, lefty, a little different. Maybe a little different personality. Whatever.
Yeah,
Matt
Leinart. USC, you know, what's the last USC? Isn't this this thing? The last
Well, Carson
USC.
Palmer was obviously really good. But Matt Barkley's not what they thought. No. And my guy, Mark Sanchez. No, there's a long lineage of failed USC quarterbacks, for sure. Plunkett's a USC guy, right? Jim Plunkett
went
to USC?
Yeah, but that's old.
No, I'm just trying to thread it together for everybody. Stop thinking about it too much. Do you believe in the kid in 2 years with coach up?
Let me coach him up. Let me ask you
put him
this.
In a weight room. Can he beat the Eagles?
Do you believe that with Kyler Murray?
Yes.
Do you believe that with Dwayne Haskins?
Yes.
Do you believe that with Drew Locke?
I'm not sure yet.
Do you believe that with Daniel Jones? Those are the ones. Those are the first round projected guys.
I believe that a bunch of the guys. Least and Daniel Jones. I know he feels like Manning, a little more athletic.
He feels like Manning because of David Cutcliffe, because of the quarterback coach.
Also, his demeanor, his personality.
Demeanor, but he's an NFL ready player, Daniel Jones. And again, I'll preface this because I'm biased. I met the kid. He was awesome. Had a great, great mind.
Sub 60% completion percentage in college.
Agreed, and that's what worries
me. Sub 60.
Because remember we had this conversation about Connor Cook. Everybody's talking about Connor Cook from Michigan State a couple of years ago. Like he's going to be the guy.
I thought he was going to be good,
dude.
I did.
Kid can't complete 55% of his passes in college. How the heck is he doing this in the NFL? Daniel Jones was unfortunately had some pretty bad receivers at Duke. And that's the excuse people give for that sub 60% completion percentage. But when you look at some of these other guys, it doesn't even matter. Like Dwayne Haskins was up around, almost 70, right?
But so JT Barrett was up there too, and he didn't have the pro skill set.
True, but yeah.
JT Barrett doesn't have the pro skill set.
It's just hard. It's hard to evaluate quarterbacks.
Here's
it
one
really
thing.
Is.
I know it is, Teak. Here's one thing I don't do. Like, I've got no problem saying that I have swung and missed on quarterbacks more than anything I probably swung and missed on.
Yes, yeah,
there was a tweet,
especially with your Jets.
Oh, jeez, and that's also because the mind takes over, and it's like hope overrides heart and common sense and football instincts. And I'm a mess when it comes to that. I readily admit my quarterback projections have been all over the map. I can't get away from the one Old Takes had it, and I still get hit with it when I tweeted that I thought Connor Cook and Hackenberg were going to be terrific. I mean, you really can't have much of a worse tweet than that. I mean, Connor Cook and Hackenberg didn't even make the alliance.
Oh, that's epically bad.
That is epically bad. So I take it on the chin. But what you have to do as a personnel guy, cut through the nonsense and really just close your eyes and trust your soul and say, can this, whatever division you're in, can this kid run out of the tunnel in 2 years and have 52 men believe in him, run behind him, execute the game plan, and beat the team that you're vying for divisional supremacy for in their backyard with an incredibly hostile atmosphere trying to take him down?
Yeah.
Now, your answer's not always going to be right, but that should be what guides you toward your answer.
Yeah.
Really, I don't think you need to think much more than that.
Yeah, that's true, but I'm trying to think of the examples, and I'm sure one will pop in my head where I didn't believe that, and it actually is the case.
Well, you didn't think the kid would be a good quarterback, and he turned out to be a very good quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm sure. What do you think of Deshaun Watson What do you think of Deshaun Watson?
Well, yeah, because of Dabo. I mean, Dabo spoke so highly of Deshaun Watson.
No.
I'm not surprised at all that how good he.
But I'm talking about going into the draft. What were we saying?
But
we
he was
liked
a winner.
Him. We liked. No, no, we
but
liked
he was
him.
A winner.
Did we love him? We liked him. We liked him.
We liked him, but I liked him a little bit more because he was a winner.
Okay. Right?
He had done it. Right? Yep. There's something about achieving success, especially quarterbacks. It's different if you're a running back, right? It's different if you're a wide receiver because you're subject to other forces. And as a receiver, it's a quarterback. As a running back, it's your offensive line, right? But as a quarterback, are you a winner? Did you propel your team to victory? And he had done that. I think the one example that maybe I would have said no, that I probably was wrong about, is Mitch Trubisky.
I knew you were going to say him.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
And it was really.
You didn't like him. I remember that.
It was because he'd have it was not a lot of evidence.
No, that's one of the few ones I got right because I remember
that was
the Sun Bowl.
That's right.
Against Solomon Thomas and Stanford.
Which I didn't see. But
I didn't see it. And I watched it and I used it on tops and I spliced together because he drove down with a minute and a half. Now, they lost the game because the guy dropped the pass in the end zone for, I believe it was a 2-point conversion. But he made, there were five throws on that final drive back foot, against the grain, across his body, into converging defenders. I'm like, this kid could play.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at who he's with, an innovative offensive mind, it's not just can the kid play, or do you insulate him with the proper staff?
Yeah.
And an offensive line that doesn't get the brains beat in the first year like the oldest Carr did,
yeah,
with the Houston Texans in the early 2000s. You know, it's not rocket science, but we make it out to be.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of variables.
Because we keep throwing in all the variables.
There's
all the factors you try to evaluate, and it's hard. It really is. But a lot of teams, including my Giants, have to make that decision in a little over a week. A little under a week, I should say.
It's a huge decision. It's a big one.
It's huge, BT.
It's a big one.
Big is too tame. It is huge.
And I don't want – I never wish ill on Tiki's Giants, but – God, I wouldn't mind you seeing. Well, I mean, you're already embroiled in a better part of a half a decade bad football, but I wouldn't mind. I mean, I would like my team to own the town for a decade. Can we just have that happen once in my lifetime? No. You get like always like the 3-13 doormat, no quarterback. Bring back Dave Brown. Bring Negative. Back Kent Graham. Bring back those guys.
Negative.
All right, coming up next year. Hey, the only team that could beat the Warriors is the Warriors. And KD proved it last night. We'll do some hoops again. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM. Channel 206 on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. So, last night, the Warriors reasserting who they are. You know who I am. I'm Kevin Durant. 41 points in the fourth quarter. In the first quarter. And as we said to start the show, at the outset of the third quarter, and this is what championship-level teams do, when they're backed in the corner, when they're pushed, they come out swinging, and they execute. So they really gave the Clippers no false hope at a comeback. They snuffed them early in the third quarter. They took the air and the oxygen out of the building. And, you know, there's going to be another series, and probably not this one. I think the Clippers had their little moment in the sun, and credit them because they probably overachieved this year.
Yeah.
But, you know, I the one thing I don't buy is, and, you know, you're the former athlete here, so you could tell me, you know, what I need to know. But, like, when people say the Warriors get bored, and we've heard that a lot.
Yeah.
It's just kind of rotely thrown. Warriors get a little bored. They lose focus. Mm-hmm. All right. I could see losing focus at like a job that you really don't care about. Like if you're sitting in front of a computer, you have no passion for the job.
Yeah.
You get bored. Some people get bored in their marriages. Some people get bored in all walks of life, in all aspects of life here. But how can you get bored when you're paid money to perform in front of 20,000 people?
I don't think it's bored.
I would never get tired of that.
I don't think it's bored. I think it's... They become less heightened, right?
All right.
So, what makes the Warriors great, and we saw this last night, BT, is that when they're heightened, like when they're dialed in, when they're crisp off every cut and every pass and every defensive rotation, when they're crisp, like, you can't beat them. Like, you just simply can't.
Can the Rockets?
They're too good. The Rockets can because I think the Rockets can outscore them. Right, they're not going to slow them down, but I think they can beat them.
You really think the Rockets can outscore them?
I do.
I do,
BT.
Tell me why.
Because you saw them against the Jazz. Now, the Jazz have tried everything defensively.
Jazz are a good defensive team.
That's exactly what I mean.
Going to fuel your point.
To try to slow down James Harden, just try to slow down this Rockets offense, which is fast-paced. And it's interesting because the Rockets play... I want to say it's slower than the Warriors, but they're controlled. But it's like there's an urgency with what's happening. And as James Harden brings the ball up the court, and he's always like chilling. It feels like he's chilling. But all of a sudden, the next thing you know, he's standing 3 feet from the basket. And you're like, wait, we got to collapse on him. And he's either throwing a lob over his shoulder that you don't see him letting go of the ball, and Clint Capella's dunking on you, or it kicks out over the corner and B.J. Tucker drills a three. Like all of those open shots, they knock down, right? And so they have a unique set of players who aren't like superstars, but they do their job expertly. And so,
but don't the Warriors? And they have superstars,
absolutely. And so, the reason that I don't think the Rockets can beat them, but if the Rockets were to beat them, it would be by outscoring them. They're not slowing them down.
Okay, you know now I mean? Know where you're coming from.
They're not saying you're not holding them to 98 points.
No.
But I do believe the Rockets have the firepower, especially if James Harden goes on a patented, 60-point night and has 10 assists, and Clint Capella, shoots 85% from the floor because he's dunking every other basket, then I think they can keep up and maybe surpass them, but it's difficult. And it took me off my original point, which is the Rockets, the Warriors, they get not like bored. It's just the easy, lazy word to use, but they become less crisp. And so that shot that they usually like tuck their shoulders perfectly right, get squared up and shoot, it's kind of I got that. And it doesn't go down.
That didn't look like that was dropping, by the way.
but
that may have been an air ball.
But that's what they do.
That may have been worse than, what's his name?
Jared Dudley's air ball. But that's what they do. Right? You'll see them. They're just kind of like, I'm just going to shoot this anyways. And then they shoot it.
That a GIF, by the way. Please make that a GIF, D-Cell. Find a way to make that a GIF. TV, what he just did, just make that a GIF. Please make that a GIF. Please, somebody do that for
me. And then it doesn't fall. And they're like, okay, but we still got a 25-point lead. We'll be all right.
Uh-huh.
And then next thing you know, they come down, they get a little bit lazy,
late
on the pass, and it's a turnover.
Yeah.
All right? And so they just when they're not crisp, then you can take advantage of them. But when they're locked in, like they were, like when KD was locked in, and KD was making shot after shot after shot, and it didn't matter if it was – early in the shot clock or at the buzzer when he had to, mid-range take a pull-up jumper. He was knocking them down because he was dialed in.
God, he's going to be so good on the Knicks next year. let me ask you a question. Because we focus on KD. We focus on Steph. We talk about Draymond for different reasons. Obviously, Boogie with the injury. And when Boogie was, initially acquired and then inserted or signed and inserted, weaving him in, coming back from the ruptured Achilles and now obviously out with the left quad. Klay Thompson, now I don't think he's leaving Golden State.
No.
I don't think anybody really, there's really no traction. Even though he seemed, and there was something made of this, and I know you saw the video where, I forget who was interviewing about five of the Warriors.
Yeah.
Iguodala was there.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant was there. Steph was there. I don't think Draymond was. Klay was definitely there. And there was something about team-oriented, like team content. And Durant was like staring into space, and everybody extrapolated that he's already gone. Which, for the record, I believe that. But also they said that about Klay. But I just think that Klay, that like his body language in that little clip of 20 seconds, that's just who he is.
Of course.
Okay.
He's always that way.
Yep. And that's actually a good trait for him. He's got a really slow heartbeat, doesn't get worked up. He's always steady.
Consistent.
Yep. But I am curious, and I don't think we'll ever get to see this, and I don't know the answer. Next year is going to be year number 9 for Klay Thompson. If he did leave, and again, prefacing with, I don't believe he even remotely is thinking about it, but if he did, if Klay Thompson was the first option on Team X in the Eastern Conference, what would that team be?
It's a trick question. Because he's not a point guard,
okay.
So he won't ever be the first option.
Why not?
Because this is a point guard driven league, right? It's Westbrook.
Who's the first option on the Warriors? First option,
it's
Durant.
It's Durant. But Durant is like a point center. A point forward, right? When he brings the ball up, what's happening, right? You know who I am,
Kevin Durant. Waste my time with that nonsense.
Klay.
Who's the first option for the Sixers?
Klay Embiid?
Yeah, he is. No, come on. Who's the first answer for the Timberwolves? Karl Anthony Towns.
Look, it's a point guard driven league, right?
Well, it's a guard driven. I'm not going to argue with that.
It's a guard driven league.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson doesn't create.
Agreed.
By himself. He's a great shooter. Now, if he is feeling it, like that time he scored 38 in a quarter.
Yes.
And he just gets the ball at the half court, and he's like, oh, 1, 2, 3. All right, you're off a little bit too far. That's going up, right? He's creating, right? But he's not, like, running around screens, dribbling into pick and rolls and, giving it, getting it back. It's not his game.
But more specifically, you're not going to isolate him and have beat off the bounce.
That's exactly right. That's
they'll rub him off screens, but he's never. I don't think I've ever seen him wear.
I don't either.
Like there's a defender, and he's Clay's just like boom, boom,
yeah,
boom. Like,
yeah.
He just does, crossing it's a, not his
yeah,
game.
Like James Harden. He's never like Steph does.
Like Steph.
Like KD does, by the way.
A lot of guys do that. Kyrie
exactly.
Irving. I mean, so many players do
so again,
that. He does not do that.
I say this because you asked me a trick question. Since he can't do that, he'll never be like the first option.
Okay.
Now. Do I think that Ben?
What if he was paid as a first option?
Do I think
like roll with that?
That's different.
But that's what I mean. Like if he goes to team Y this summer, desperate for a star, and they make him the max.
But see, that just doesn't
what
make
kind of team
that,
is
that doesn't make sense.
From whose part? From whose point?
From anybody's point.
His
point of view. Unless Clay just wants to be the highest paid player on a team.
Yeah.
Which in a team sport doesn't make sense.
Well, I agree that it wouldn't make sense. On the part of an NBA team to view him in that light and give him that money to be the number one guy. I agree with that.
But
there's a lot of dumb teams out there.
Yeah, but I think Clay is too smart to do that, to fall for that.
You know, I agree. I don't think he's leaving. But I guess I ask that because I think we'll always
have... It just feels implausible. You ask it, and it's a good question. It just feels so implausible to me
that
he would do it that I can't, like, reason it.
But that's why I asked it. And I asked it because I think we'll have... Like, unfulfilled answers as to, this is going to sound odd because we know he's good, just how good Klay Thompson is. I don't know that we'll ever truly know. I don't know.
You're right.
I don't know. Is there more or is he in the perfect spot? Which obviously is yes when you play with Steph Curry and Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what he would be on in a modified system, a different pace with different players. What if he played with Embiid?
Yeah.
And Embiid's double teamed that he's open all night hitting threes like Redick and Tobias Harris.
Yeah, but you still need someone to create and drive the lane and give him that openness, right? To me, Ben Simmons is he's not the number one scoring option, but he's the catalyst,
mm-hmm.
right? And so it's a little bit different. It's like a combo first option with the 76ers because Ben Simmons isn't a scorer. He's not a shooter. But hell, last night, if you're going to give him access into the lane and just let him dunk on you at will.
That was embarrassing on the part of the Nets.
I mean, the Nets tried to play. I get it. The Nets, they had to try to play small. They had to, especially with Joel Embiid out
mm-hmm.
and the 76ers going small. They had to match player for player. But they were overmatched when they went small against the 76ers being small.
Imagine if Klay Thompson was on the Nets.
Yeah.
Now, is he number one? Is he 1A? Is Russell one? Is he?
It's Curry. So it stays the same. So it's D'Angelo Russell.
Just throw him on the team right now.
Joe Harris.
How good is that team? Are they 55 wins?
I think they are significantly better, BT.
So
and you know why?
Because he's a great defender, too.
Not only that, we saw this last night. They get to points where if Caris LeVert, who's a bench player, by the way, or D'Angelo Russell, who shot terrible to start the game, aren't knocking down shots, they get run away from.
Yeah, they were 8-for-39 overall.
They 21%. Got run away from, right?
Yep.
Klay Thompson's knocking down, 50% of his shots.
That drought's going to be ended fast.
Exactly.
Yes.
They're not going to get a 16-2 run like the 76ers had last night.
I agree.
So
that's worth throw by you, see what we thought about Klay. Does, we dissect him a little differently than maybe other shows do.
It's implausible that he's going to go somewhere else. I just don't see it.
I don't either. But, sometimes it's fun to have those conversations.
You
hit a different layer. All right, T, coming up. Took a while, but St. John's finally found their guy. And how about this? Robert Kraft. Is he being treated fairly? We'll get to that. I have no idea who the hell wants to see that tape. Let's just call for what it is, man. Who wants to see that? Jeez. Axe update is right now. Here's Rich Ackerman. Ack wants to see it.
Definitely not.
Ack wants to see it.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here on Tiki and Tierney. Today's question rolling in from...
I got a question for Sharp Tierney.
Okay, I will answer it in a moment. I like those questions. Baltimore, Matt wants to know, all right, guys, fellas, what are the 76ers that win last night? Was it based on the Nets not responding and Ben Simmons laughing in Jared Dudley's face? So basically he's asking us, is it over because the Nets didn't show a whole lot of fight?
Yeah, I think it's a couple of things. I think one of the big reasons is that when they got cold, the Nets, and they couldn't get shots to drop other than from Caris LeVert and then eventually D'Angelo Russell, they just got run away from. So Joe Harris can't afford to have a bad day. Bottom line, their scorers can't afford to have bad days. And when they have bad days, any good playoff team is going to take advantage of them.
I think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Nice job on the TV side, as always, throwing up some of the stats. And the thing that jumped out to me, in addition to the inability to hit any three-point shots and Simmons getting to the tin at will, the lack of ball movement. Now,
you're right.
12 is a paltry assist total at this level. You might see that in college. 12 assists in the NBA is horrendous, but a lot of that is attributed to poor shot, to shooting a very inefficient number. You just don't make it, doesn't go in. You're not going to get, but 12,
but
26
it felt that way,
to 12.
Though. But it felt that way,
like, too. Stagnant.
It did.
It did feel stagnant.
Look, Caris LeVert was exciting as hell in the second quarter, right, because he knocked, when he scored 19 points or whatever it was in the second quarter, but so much of it was like hero ball. It was, all right, I'm coming off this action here, and I'm going to get to the middle of the lane. I'm just going to shoot it, right? There was no creating, and so what happens is everybody else just starts standing around waiting for him to make a shot, and then when he goes and sits on the bench, they're stagnant and they're stale, like Joe Harris, who I hate to knock on, but he had a bad day.
He made no, and he played. It was a horrendous defensive matchup for him, a bad one. He got burned a lot, and he made no threes. But Joe's a good player.
J.J. Redick ran him around.
Yeah,
I mean. That's one of the things. Like, JJ's from my high school. We know this. We talk about this many times. I always worried about him being able to create space and find openings in the NBA.
Yep.
He's turned into one of the great sharpshooters.
Yeah,
he doesn't do it by just standing in the corner.
I agree with you.
Give me the ball. I'm here. He's not that guy.
No.
He's running.
He's an athlete.
He's constantly moving.
Perpetual motion.
Constantly moving.
And he's so adept at, you know, and it's hard to pick this up on TV. You have to be a real true basketball consumer. You have to really love the game and know the game to see this, because it's kind of subtle. But I would challenge you, next time you watch J.J. Redick, if you don't know this, watch how close he runs as he runs off screens. I mean, it's a skill.
Yeah.
You know, everybody thinks, well, you just set a screen, you're running. No, but you have to actually basically trace your guy into your teammate who's setting the screen.
Yep.
And then narrowly avoid your teammate, and then catching the ball ready to shoot.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a robot.
I agree.
J.J. Redick is I've said this many times. J.J. Redick is a good pro, very good, who transformed his body. Looks a little badass with the tats, too. That doesn't hurt. You know, a little street cred for him. He's a terrific shooter. He's a good passer.
Yep.
And he's a great teammate.
I don't disagree.
He really is. I know you got a question for Sharp Tierney. Would you like to do it after the blast?
I'll do it after the blast.
After the blast.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, here we go. The Miami Marlins are 4-15, not winning a whole lot of games. Confident that Jeter's long-term plan will work out, are you?
No, I'm not. It's hard to win down there. But I'm not anti his plan. I know how these things work. You saw what the Rays actually did this for a little bit. You got to strip down. You got to get the profitability and then reset. It takes some time. It's very, very frustrating. But I'm not confident, but I'm not anti the plan.
You know what? It's a good answer. I mean, really, if I was to characterize it, I don't know that I would subscribe to something totally dissimilar from that. I believe in Jeter's plan. I believe it is vision. I believe it is prudence financially out of necessity. But I also don't believe in the market or the organization enough, because they haven't given us a whole lot of evidence too. And the division's young.
Yeah.
Harper's young.
Yeah,
Syndergaard's
right.
Young. DeGrom's young. You look at some of the good players. The Braves. Acuna's just getting going. It's going to be a real tough division, but I'll give Jeter a chance to get this thing going in a couple years. All right, it took a while. St. John's names Mike Anderson their new head coach. What's your thought on the hire here?
Razorbacks.
Yeah, Razorbacks. A long time under Nolan Richardson, 40 minutes of hell. By the way, not just he was an assistant there for 17 years, but had great success with UAB, went to three tournaments there, had great success at Mizzou when Mizzou was really down. Took him to three tournaments, got him to the Elite Eight as well, and he did a pretty good job at Arkansas. Three tournament wins. Listen, three tournament games or appearances. He's 369 and like 220. He's won a lot more than he's lost. It's unconventional. They must surround him with New York assistant coaches.
Yeah.
And I know that they're going to. I'll be honest. The search was pretty messy.
It was getting ugly. It was ugly.
I think they've recovered pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I think
it's not a bad hire.
This is a good step for Mike Anderson. The only thing that I worry about, and you alluded to this, BT, he's an Alabama guy.
Yep.
He has no ties up here.
I know. Here's the thing, though. Chris Mullin's a New York guy. It's not like the New York coach was sending Chris a ton of players
that's,
either.
That's a very
it's
good
a misnomer.
Point.
The St. John's coach, everybody thinks you get fed players. Louis did it because it was different back then. But, you know, I know Fraschilla got Ron Artest, but not a lot of, you know, Mike Jarvis didn't really get New York kids for
that's
the money. They just don't.
You're right.
Can you coach? This guy can coach.
You're right. And actually might help him that he brings some SEC kids up here.
Listen. He's a coach. No, he could definitely coach here. All right, so Penn State quarterback Tommy Stevens exploring the NCAA transfer portal. What needs to be changed about the transfer portal rule?
Wow, this is a good one.
This is a tough one. What needs to be changed? I would like to... well, I actually like the fact that it's transparent now. Like, there's actually a database that you can go, and instead of like, you know, hey, listen, my camp's calling yours, and you know, screw where you're at. At least it's out there for public dissemination.
To that point, I actually think I think that because it's now not like, oh, there's some guy, there's some undermining going on. This guy's manipulating with another team's player. This coach or whatever recruiters are manipulating another team's player. Guys can just put it out there. Like, I want to be elsewhere. The only thing, and I can't even like say this. The only thing I would want is maybe you put a delay back. You allow for immediate acceptance, but you delay them being able to go into the portal for a year, because a lot of these kids, they get one like inkling of bad news or / competition, or like, peace, I'm out.
Yeah, I gotta go.
Right.
Yeah.
Compete for a year, right? Think about it.
Yeah,
and then if it doesn't work out, then you can go, but there's no penalty for you to leave.
Yeah, the problem with that, it's too old school.
You're right.
I love it. I totally hear you. I agree.
Yeah.
But the athletes, they want immediate. They want to play. They want it now, and they don't want to sit. I agree with you fundamentally, though. You know that. Okay, attorneys allege the cops leaked the Robert Kraft spa video. Does it seem like Kraft is being targeted now? Listen, I don't know if he's being targeted. I do know that there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who have been to these spas, people you know, whatever.
He's being made an example of.
He's being made an example of, but who the hell wants to see this?
No.
Why would they put this out there?
You know, the only thing that bothers me is that, I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, that is...
Other than to the obvious, which is to make money, and who knows how much TMZ or whoever would pay for these things, but they're... People pay for these things.
I mean, Robert Kraft naked might be the most unsightly thing that you could see.
Yeah, exactly. No disrespect to Robert Kraft.
No,
he's just 78 years old.
Absolutely. Right? I mean, he's not a young guy.
No.
I don't know. You know, listen, he could say so many things about this, but nobody wants to see the video, and I hope it doesn't ruin his life. He's not a bad guy.
And I like Robert Kraft, so I'm going to say.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
I hope this goes away sooner rather than later.
I mean, what did he do that was like, I know it's technically a criminal act here, and putting trafficking totally aside.
Which has had nothing to do with it.
Exactly.
And they have not been a charge brought yet.
They're both consenting adults. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't really see what the big deal is. I'm sorry. All right, tonight, Shohei Ohtani is going to join his teammates for batting practice for the first time since his injury. Probably put on a show. Can Ohtani stay healthy for an entire season while pitching and being an everyday DH?
That's a hard one.
It's hard, but the fact that ligament has already been repaired and it comes back stronger, you know, medically proven that it actually is stronger when it's repaired and the adhesive is fastened than when it before surgery. I'll give him a chance. Yeah. I don't think it's going to last a long time.
Mean pitching in next year?
Yeah, no, not this year. Absolutely next year. He's not pitching.
I'm going to say yeah. I think he can stay healthy.
I hope so.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
All right, Sharp Tierney is the man. Mm-hmm. He's going with Orlando plus 5.5.
I'll take the 5 and a hook at
home. All right, so it's probably too tight to chase in the next game, but the 9:30 Oklahoma City hosting Portland.
I'm taking the Thunder tonight.
-7.5. If you win Orlando, are you going?
Actually, I like the over more so. 7.5 is too steep.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah, I'm not a parlay guy, so I'm not going to shade that down. I think that's a sucker bet.
I think they can win OKC.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they're winning by almost double digits.
I don't think so either. I do think Portland could relent a little, which means there could be some points. I do like the over. I like the over.
221.5.
And, you know, can they win 113, 10, 109, 117? I mean, I would push it over.
Win-loss.
I do like the over.
Win-loss, who's winning? Orlando or Toronto?
I think the Raptors squeeze out a tough one.
Yeah, I think so too. Indiana versus Boston.
I'll take the Pacers tonight out of respect for their effort.
I'm going to go Boston.
Okay.
I'm going to go Boston, even though I'm not very confident on that. Portland, OKC.
I got Thunder, close one.
I'm going to say Thunder's going to win that one too.
Everybody have a terrific Passover. Have an outstanding Easter Sunday. All the kiddos and all the candy and hopped up on sugar and lock them in their room after they eat it all and don't let them get out for a few hours. We'll see you Monday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.